I'm pleased to be speaking today with author Timothy Lewis about his upcoming novel, Forever Friday. Tim, tell me about the find that inspired you to write Forever Friday.
The find is a collection of antique postcards I discovered at my great aunt and uncle's estate sale, literally pulling them out of the trash heap. They were mounted in photo albums and thought to have been pictures of people no one in the family knew. It appeared my great aunt had received a love poem postcard every Friday for 60 years, and those cards had been kept secret. I knew I'd discovered an idea for a powerful love story, but there was no conflict, no plot. So I put the albums on a shelf in my office and waited for the love story muse to cajole me while I wrote other things. Well, about 5 years later, I received a phone call from a high school friend whose wife of 20 years had walked out without warning. He said, "I don't believe in love anymore." I remember gazing up at the shelf holding the postcard albums and thinking, there lies 60 years of love, married love, and suddenly I'd found my story.
Now, the framework of this story is that Adam is a fellow whose marriage has fallen apart, and he seems surprised by his divorce. Now, he finds the postcard album belonging to Pearl Huckabee Alexander and Gabe Alexander, which sets him on a personal journey of understanding a loving marriage. How do you believe Adam's character might represent readers' own fears?
You know, it's uncanny, but last week I heard from a woman I'd gone to college with whose marriage had ended unexpectedly, much like my character Adam. Her husband had walked out after 30 years. Here's what she said. She said, "I wonder sometimes if I know what love is. I kept trying to identify it when I was married. I wonder if I'm the type who will never experience it. Perhaps I don't know how." Well, I was blown away because that's exactly why I wrote the book. Not only had her marriage ended, she doubted if she even knew the definition of married love, wondered if she'd ever experienced it. This woman is a strong Christian, and whether we admit it or not, divorce happens to everyone, Christians included. So I penned the message of second chances, which mirrors the biblical message of redemption. God is the author of love and second chances.
Huck has a sort of mystical encounter as a young woman in which she meets a man named Mr. Jack, who might be a drifter or might be, as Huck sees him, a guardian angel. What role does Mr. Jack play for Huck?
Huck is raised with a strong belief in God and has a vivid imagination. Moreover, she's extremely intuitive and realizes at a young age that there's much more to life than what she perceives with her five senses. Therefore, she communicates with Mr. Jack in subtle ways, ways that include sight, hearing, touch, etc., but go far beyond. Not only does Mr. Jack predict Huck's future, he states one of her most private thoughts, husband dreaming, and introduces her to the term soulmate. In Huck's wild imaginings, she concludes that even though Mr. Jack wears bib overalls and carries an unusual hand-carved cane and speaks with incorrect grammar, he must be her guardian angel, which to Huck means God cares less about appearances and more about our future mates.
Gabe has a theory on what pulls married couples apart that he calls the long division. Can you explain Gabe's theory and what your thoughts are on the long division?
Long division. In this age of cell phone calculators, does anyone even use it anymore? You know, I'm terrible at math, and believe it or not, I actually taught long division once upon a time, but this is a happy interview, so we won't get into that. Okay, you asked me about Gabe's long division theory. It's based on the idea that most married couples gradually grow apart. It's like this. When a couple is dating, everything is new and shiny and wonderful. The carefree couple makes a special effort to do everything together, and naturally they develop shared interests. It's not hard because they want to. Why? Because they're in love, and like I say, everything is new and shiny and wonderful. But once married, and as they say, the blissful honeymoon's over, time together gets harder. Carefree disappears into the D word, duty. Jobs get in the way, and bills, and in-laws, and bills, and children, and even more bills. In arithmetic, long division requires many dutiful steps, which continually divide and then multiply further divisions into the lowest possible dividend. Likewise, a marriage filled with numerous obligations divides time spent together. Over the years, these divisions are allowed to multiply. Then the once shared passions slowly separate into single-minded interests. The long division.
Gabe decides to send Huck a postcard with a poem written on it every Friday of their married life. Why does he do this? Is Gabe just an incurable romantic, and is there hope for husbands who aren't? Do you employ such romantic ideas in your own marriage, Tim?
Well, I guess I'm a bit of a dreamer, so I made Gabe a dreamer. Charlie Chaplin, a silent movie fame, said this: "A tramp, a gentleman, a poet, a dreamer, a lonely fellow, always hopeful of romance and adventure. Since I've been all the above, thus is Gabe. Although I prefer a wanderer to tramp." Gabe probably does too. I just never asked him. In Chaplin's phrase, "always hopeful of romance and adventure," old Charlie couldn't have described me or my character Gabe any better. Adventure is easy. I've always had a horse to ride or an expanse of prairie or a stretch of dry creek to explore. I just saddle up and let the horse have his head. Romance is different. It's fragile. Even as a young man, I knew it must be protected or it would stagnate and fade away. And that's why Gabe mails Huck a love poem postcard every Friday for 60 years. He's a smart guy. Now, let me get this straight. You asked, is there hope for husbands who aren't? You said Gabe was an incurable romantic, and is there hope for husbands who aren't? Huh. Did a woman write this question? Just kidding. Of course there's hope. All the husband has to do is read my novel. That's why I wrote it in such detail about a scene about the international pageant of pulchritude. So men would read it, but seriously, though, with a little effort, not money, but effort, a couple can rekindle their initial romance. A good example is when Gabe recreates the moonlit beach scene from his and Huck's first date. So, do I employ such romantic ideas in my own marriage? Well, I don't want to brag, but Gabe didn't think of that romantic scene on his own. With a little imagination, it's not hard to recreate a moonlit beach. But if you do, take the kids to Grandma's first because, well, track sand everywhere, and want to understand why there's twinkle lights taped to the ceiling, an amber bulb in the fixture, and a plastic wading pool in the middle of the dining room floor. Besides, they'll cry when they learn the dime store decor and the fun new furnishings are permanent. So start with something simple yet meaningful. My wife's and my first date included a midnight walk on the beach. Believe me, she remembered. Keep the creative fire burning, and before long, you'll recreate an entire cruise ship. And men, that made-up ship is actually more fun and much more appreciated than the real love boat. And here's the best part. You don't have to tip, and there's no pesky lifeboat drill.
And the book is full of a lot of colorful East Texas history set over several decades. What inspired the inclusion of this sort of setting?
You know, the cliche, write what you know, is good advice, because I'm a native Texan, having written extensively about the Lone Star State in my plays and musicals, cowboy poetry articles, and other novel-length manuscripts. And since it's loosely based on my great-aunt and uncle, I chose their stomping grounds, East Texas and the Upper Texas coast. In the novel, I wanted to weave interesting places and unusual events into Huck and Gabe's story. Now, Huntsville, Texas is the headquarters for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, which hosted the annual Texas Prison Rodeo. Rodeo no longer exists, but for over 50 years, it attracted thousands of visitors every Sunday in October. Nicknamed the wildest show behind bars, it featured inmate cowboys and cowgirls, inmate entertainment, and headlined big-name country and western stars like Eddie Arnold, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton, and even George Strait. Needless to say, it was a huge deal. In the novel, Huck and Gabe attend the rodeo, and it becomes a fascinating part of their story. Also, my character Huck was born and raised in Huntsville, so as an undergraduate, attended Sam Houston Normal College, which is located there. It later became Sam Houston State University, which is my own alma mater. In fact, the historic Walls Prison Unit, the site of the rodeo, is only blocks from the campus. During my college days, Huntsville still had a volunteer fire department. Anytime there was a fire, they'd sound a loud siren as a signal to the volunteer firemen, and they did this even in the middle of the night. Naturally, university freshmen weren't aware of this practice, so would tell the girls that sirens meant prisoners were escaping over the walls, and the freshman girls were to bolt to the guy's dorm for protection. Yes, even in the middle of the night. And of course, we all promised to be gentlemen. Well, most of us. Truthfully, I don't think our ploy ever worked. Well, maybe once. Also in the novel, my character Gabe works for the Gulf Oil Company as a bookkeeper. And as part of his job, Gabe travels to Kilgore, Texas. Now, Huck wants to join him, but Gabe refuses because of the danger. They have a pretty big fight over this. You see, in the 1930s, Kilgore was one of the largest oil fields in the world and the center of the East Texas oil boom. In fact, petroleum from this location helped fuel the American and Allied victory in World War II. But even though Kilgore was rich in oil, it was plagued with lawlessness. So the state sent the renowned Texas Ranger, El Lobo Solo, the Lone Wolf, to Kilgore to enforce the law. Now, Lone Wolf believed in rehabilitating criminals on the spot. And I'm not making this up, this is true. He drove a car with a machine gun mounted in a passenger seat and carried a trunk load of Bibles. These bad folks are going to change their behavior in one way or another. Well, Huck follows Gabe to Kilgore anyway and becomes caught up in a life-threatening situation. Reckon she meets the Lone Wolf? Just have to read the novel and find out.
Forever Friday is the latest novel by my guest, Timothy Lewis. Timothy, thanks again. It's been wonderful to talk to you today.
I appreciate it, and it's been great visiting about the book, and I love talking about it.